It's a marvelous love. Amen. Before I start, I need to dispel a rumor. Carl Johnson thought I got some brand new sneakers for Christmas, which actually 4 months ago when I when I bought a pair, I went ahead and bought two. And at my house, here's kind of what I do. I got my church pair. They're white. And when they become off-white, they become my daily wear pair. And then when they become a little brown, that's my mowing pair. And so I did get my traditional lump of coal this year, and so that's the streak continues. It's been 25 years in a row. So anyway, no new shoes for me this year. There's a thought, and there's actually been a book written that I read. I'm not necessarily recommending you read that. It wasn't a bad book. It's just a difficult read for me. Then the title of that book was A Culture of Honor. And there's this thought in Christian circles that that encourages Christians to help foster, help facilitate a culture of honor, which means that we choose to honor people. People inside the church or people that are perhaps outside the church. And let me give you a definition of honor. I'll give you Webster's definition, and that definition is a high respect or esteem for a particular person. And then if you look at the Greek, the original language of the New Testament, when it speaks about honor in the Greek, that definition is reverence as it relates to a particular office or a person. And we see that in our country. We see that in our society, that we honor certain offices, certain events, certain venues by standing. Now, the office of the President of the United States, for example, when he gives the State of the Union address, and he goes into, is it the Senate or the, what chamber do they end up? Anybody know? House. Okay, the House. When he enters the House, somebody will say, "All rise, President of the United States, so-and-so." And so everybody will rise, whether they agree with him philosophically or politically or not. Everybody will rise to honor that particular office. When he spends time with the media, they go into a room, and in order to honor him, when he enters the room, the media will rise, and he'll come in, and they will have discussion, and they'll ask questions, and so forth and so on. On a smaller scale, if you go into a courtroom in our country, then everybody is seated, and the bailiff, when the judge is ready to come in, the bailiff will say, "Okay, all rise, Honorable Judge John Smith is coming into the courtroom." So we'll all rise in honor of that particular judge. I never really found anything that would, there would be punishment for anybody that didn't, you know, do that. It's just basically courtroom etiquette. I know in some countries, if you're in North Korea and you fail to rise to honor the emperor, that may be your last day to actually live. But I don't think that's, it's not a hard and fast rule in our country. That's just basically etiquette. Now, when we're at funerals, when the family of the deceased will come into the room, what do? We all rise to honor that particular family for their loss. And then at weddings, and I always get emotional during weddings. I don't know why. When the bride walks in the room, whether we know the bride or not, I mean, there's just something that stirs in us. And we stand to honor that that bride. And, you know, I'm afraid that we find ourselves honoring people at maybe just perhaps only those designated times. And I think God wants it to be, a lot deeper than that. He challenges us through Scripture to honor people more frequently. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. But let me pray before I do that. God, we love you. And God, I just thank you for the time of worship this morning, Lord. And if we do not stand amazed in the presence of Jesus of Nazarene, would you stir our hearts so that we are amazed, that our salvation is fresh, just as it was the day that we come to know who you are, Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, would you come and would you move and use me for your glory? We just thank you for this day in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you will find your sermon insert sheet, you notice, again, it's blank. Again, I'm sorry I make you work harder than Jeff does. And so if you want to take some notes, you can do that. We're going to run through a number of scriptures this morning. First of all, why do we honor people? Why do we honor people? Well, God's word says that we should honor people. We're commanded to honor. Let's look at Romans 12:10. Romans 12:10 says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves." That word devoted means to coexist with somebody as if you're in the family with them. And the rest of that first part of that verse speaks to it. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And we're challenged to honor one another above ourselves. And that's difficult to do. You know, I struggle with that. I mean, it's like in order for me to honor somebody, I've got to think less of myself. I've got to not have a selfish attitude if I'm going to honor somebody. So we need to be devoted to one another in brotherly love, and we need to honor one another above ourselves. The second scripture, excuse me, Romans 13:7. And this, in context, this comes out of some scripture we're going to talk about in a little bit, that we're encouraged to honor our leaders, honor those in government. They talk about paying taxes. So this is a tag on the end of that, but I also believe it has a double meaning as well. Romans 13:7 says, "Give everyone to what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes." I don't enjoy that. I don't know about you guys, but I don't enjoy that. If you owe revenue, then give revenue. If you owe respect, then give respect. If you owe honor, then give honor. I believe that God has called us, just as we have to pay taxes, I believe God has called us to honor people, that we owe them honor. We owe them honor. So we honor people because we're commanded to. And so if we honor people, are there certain groups of people we honor? Or are there some limitations there on who we honor? Well, let's look at some categories of who we're called to honor. So secondly, who do we honor? First of all, we honor God. We honor him with our life. As a matter of fact, Revelation says that all the glory, all the honor, all the power is due him. So we honor him with our life. We honor him with our service. And there's a verse in 1 Samuel 2:30. You may want to jot the reference down. I'm not going to have those on the screen. You can just, as we go through this list, you can just jot that reference down. 1 Samuel 2:30. God says, "Those who honor me, I will honor." So if we honor God with our life, God will honor us. And he honors us so we can give that honor away to somebody else. So we need to honor God. Secondly, we need to honor our parents. Ephesians 6:2-3, and a number of other places in Scripture, this is also part of the Ten Commandments. It says, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, and that promise is that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." We're called to honor our mother and father. And I don't know if that ever stops as long as they're on this side of eternity. And, you know, and some parents are easy to honor. I have not had a difficult time honoring my mom. I mean, there's a lot of years I dishonored her by the way I lived. And she beat the snot out of me a lot of times for it, to be honest with you. And I'm scared to death of her. She's about this tall, but she brings fear, man. I just, when she walks in the room, I'm just trembling with fear. But she was easy to honor because she was a good mom. She did her best to raise me and my two brothers by herself. I lost my dad when I was 8 to cancer. So she was easy to honor. My stepdad's an awesome man. He's easy to honor. They're in their 80s, and I don't think I will stop honoring them until God takes them home. Now, I know some of you in this room have probably not had that experience. You know, your parents may have been a little difficult, and maybe right now the relationship you have with your parents is not good. But I encourage you to be obedient to Scripture and honor God by continuing to honor your parents. They may not get that. It may not benefit them at all, but I believe in the promise of the Lord that he says, if we honor them, it will go well with us. And we may enjoy a long life here on the earth. So if you're struggling in your relationship with your parents, I challenge you, I encourage you to go ahead and continue to honor them, however difficult that may be. Now, parents of younger kids, we love to hold this verse over our kids' heads, do we not? You'll honor me because this is what God's word says. The very next verse that I did not read, it says, "Parents, do not embitter your children. Don't provoke your children to anger. There's got to be a balance there. We need to honor our parents, but also, parents, we need to honor our children. Next category is the marriage environment. We need to honor our spouses. Hebrews 3:4 says, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed be kept pure. Husbands, we need to honor our wives. Wives, you need to honor your husbands. We need to honor the marriage that God has brought together through the two people. We need to honor, we need to be pure. We need to honor each other that way as well. Now, men, I'm gonna camp out on us for just a little bit. I'm not mad at you, okay? I'm just a man, and I know, I understand. Jot down 1 Peter 3:7. And as I read through this, as I talk through this, I'm not a male chauvinist. I'm really not. I absolutely respect my wife. She has incredible giftedness that God allows her to walk in, and I value women. I really do, okay? But let me read this scripture. And if you get upset, don't get upset at me. Get upset with God because he put it in here. It says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with honor as the weaker partner and heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Now, we all have limitations. Male and female have limitations. The sad thing about the limitations us men have, we don't understand the limitations we have. I mean, the women are all over that. They know that we don't spend enough time romancing them, and they know that we don't spend enough time meeting their needs. And so we do have limitations, man, trust me. And as the woman being the weaker partner, physically perhaps, but that does not mean emotionally, that does not mean spiritually. I'll tell you what, if I'm looking for some people to pray for me, I know a bunch of women I'm going to go grab because they're strong in the Lord. They're all in. And so I'm not talking about that. There's some physical, perhaps, limitations where men are just stronger than women. Okay? Everybody okay with that? Does that sound chauvinistic? Okay, I hope it did. Did it? Okay. Good. So, men, we should know that. Okay? We know how our wives are wired. We know how our wives are gifted. God has given them to us. And if we do not honor them because of who they are, God's word says that our prayers can be hindered because of that. And I don't know if you're struggling in your prayer life, men, but if you are, check that. I mean, if I get to a point where I'm just blocked, I'm praying to the Lord and there's just something standing in the way, I don't always immediately go to this place, but I have to ask myself, how am I treating Carlene? Am I treating her with respect? Am I treating her with dignity? Am I treating her with honor? And to be honest, sometimes I have not. And therefore, my prayer life has been hindered. So, men, be on guard, okay? We don't want anything to hinder our prayer lives. Honor our wives. Wives, honor your husbands as well. Next category is the elderly. The elderly. Now, 10 years ago, I thought an elderly person was somebody that was 56 years old. And now that I'm 56 years old, I'm thinking maybe 68, 70, something like that, maybe, perhaps. Watch out. What is the age, Jim? I don't know. Help me out here. Higher than that. Okay. All right. How about in the 90s? How's that? That's elderly. We have some precious people in our church that are 90 years old plus and loving to death. Leviticus 19:32. Out of the Levitical law says, rise in the presence of the aged, show honor for the elderly, and revere your God. We don't do that in our culture. But there are some cultures in Asian culture that when a person that's considered elderly walks into the room, then the people will stand in honor of that particular person. Now, I'm not advocating we do that, but my goodness, we do need to honor. We do need to honor the elderly, 90 and above, okay? The precious people we have in our fellowship, that some of them are homebound, and Jeff and I go by and I know Jim's been by a time or two, and we'll go visit with them, serve them communion, and they're awesome. I mean, they don't feel good. They can't get out and do anything, but they never complain. they're so grateful just to have a roof over their head, that their house is warm, that their house is cool, that they have their very next breath from the Lord, and they never gripe about anything. And that's that is rare in our culture. I'm just going to be honest. The younger generation, they I'm not saying everybody, but it's almost like we owe them something. You know, that elderly generation has walked through the Depression. They know what it's like to be without. And so we need to respect them. We need to honor them. And I encourage you, if you struggle with that, just pick somebody out. Just say, hey, I just wanted to bless you. You bless me because, you know, you're steadfast. You're elderly and you're steadfast. And so anyway, we need to honor the elderly. Next category is the governing authorities. The governing authorities, Romans 13, 1 through 6. And I'm going to be honest with you, I struggle in this area, honoring our government. I spend a lot of times in conversation with people talking about how frustrated I am. And I'm frustrated. I'm just going to be honest with you. Really frustrated. You know, we got a Congress that can't hear I'm supposed to honor them, and I'm dishonoring them by what I'm saying. But anyway, we got a Congress that can't seem to get anything done. You know, and we got a president I don't agree with. I don't agree with where we're headed morally as a country. You know, if you like your health care plan, you can keep your health care plan. Now, I got to keep it. I got to keep mine. I'm probably one of the few that got to. But guess what? My premiums went up 25% this month. Hallelujah. I got to keep my health care plan. But I need to find a place. That I can strike a balance there. That I can not agree with them, but still honor the office. And I'm wondering what God, what am I missing out on because I'm struggling in this area? Because I really am. I really do. I don't have a problem with any other area but this one. And I'm going to have to allow the Holy Spirit to work on me as far as myself honoring the governing authorities. Next category are employees and employers, Ephesians 6, 5 through 9. Employers, you need to honor your employees and vice versa. We are to honor fellow believers. Next category, honor one another above yourself, Romans 12, 10. We already looked at that. And then lastly, in case we haven't talked about anybody that doesn't fall into any of the categories, we're supposed to honor everyone, non-believers as well. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So the call in our lives, church, is for us to be fostering a culture of honor where we choose to honor all people. So how do we do that? How do we honor people? First of all, it starts with us humbling ourselves before God. It's not an easy thing to do. We need to stop thinking more highly of ourselves than what we should. And there's so many scriptures that encourages us to live that particular way. I think we also need to see people as God sees people. We need His vision for humanity. We need His vision for culture if we're going to honor people. You know, everybody's been created by God to be in relationship with Him, believers and non-believers alike. I mean, every person that I encounter on a daily basis has been knitted together in their mother's womb by Almighty God. They were fearfully and wonderfully made, and God created them, I believe, for a purpose. He's gifted them in certain ways, but not everybody chooses to pursue the Lord. Not everybody chooses a relationship with Him through Christ. You know, every musician, that entertainer, that can sing or play a musical instrument, I believe with all my heart that God has created them and gifted them to give Him glory through that particular talent. And some of them choose to do that, and a lot of them choose not to. They choose to glorify themselves. And so if God has created humanity in such a way, there's got to be some value there in people. There's just got to be. And we need to tap into that. We need to figure out a way to honor those particular people, even though people that are not born again, people we don't feel comfortable around, we need to be honoring others. And I believe that honoring people can really have a supernatural effect on people just if we choose to honor them. You know, we've got two children. Christy, who's here this morning. And we got a son who's not here this morning. He's getting married Saturday, by the way. And I love my kids. You know, and Christy was, I'm not going to brag on you, sweetie. I'm just going to be honest. She was very easy to raise, very compliant child. Even though we were not perfect parents, she chose to honor her mom and dad. And she's got a list of 10 or 12 things we did wrong, and she can show you those after church if you want to visit with her. But she was just real compliant. And I can only think of one instance where her and I got into some kind of uncomfortable discussion. It was at HEB. You remember that? I do. Anyway. HEB, she was like 12 years old, and we just got into it right there in the middle of HEB, and that's been it. And so it's been really easy to raise our daughter. Our son, who I talked to yesterday, by the way, I said, hey, here's what I'm going to say to the church. Is it okay? And he says, yes. He gave me his blessing. So our son, God bless him, he come out of the womb looking for a fight. And I was ready to give him one. And so, you know, he was just wired different. He's just uniquely gifted by God. And he liked things that I didn't understand how he could like. He got his first bicycle, and you know, he had to trick it out. He had to put pegs on it and all this stuff, and I didn't understand that. He didn't like clothes that would cling to him, so he wore shorts year-round. So we'd send him to school in the middle of December. It's 20 degrees outside, and our son's showing up in shorts. And people are thinking, man, these are terrible parents. Who would send their kid to school in shorts? But he just didn't like anything that would really cling to him. And so when he grew up, he didn't like pants that cling to him, so he wore baggy pants, you know, baggy shirts. He liked a skateboard. I didn't like the skateboard. I didn't understand that. You know, when he bought his first car, he liked a car with wide wheels that sat low to the ground. I didn't like that, but I didn't understand that, but he did. Just wired different. And so because of me not really understanding who he was, I spent most of his life beating him down. Just kind of telling him how many different ways he disappointed me as my son. And so he was 18 or 19 years old, and I just, to be honest, I just had enough of him. And he had enough of me. And sent him to live with his sister. I didn't know how long that was going to last. It lasted a couple of weeks. And you know, I remember just, I was in my bedroom, and I said, God, I just can't deal with this boy. And it wasn't an audible conversation, but he said, Billy, do you love Clayton? Well, yes, I love Clayton. Do you love him like I love him? Do you love him without conditions? And I placed so many conditions on our relationship. And so what I did, I chose to begin to speak into his life and look at the good things he was about, which there were a lot of them. I just didn't choose to focus on those. And I chose to honor him. And so we had a conversation, and I told him, I apologize. I said, son, I made a lot of mistakes with you, and I'm so sorry. Would you forgive me? And for the first time, I didn't accuse him of the things that he had done wrong, and I just left it at that. And during that time in our relationship, it was better that we corresponded by writing things to one another. And I remember I wrote him a letter. And I said, Clayton, I'm proud that you're my son. And if I could have chosen any young man on the face of the planet to be my son, it'd be you. And something shifted in his heart. It was supernatural. And our relationship, it blossomed. And right now, we're, to be honest, we're best friends. I'm his best friend. I thought he was going to ask me to be his best man at his wedding, but he didn't. But then he asked me if I would marry them. Because I chose to honor him. And what if I would have chose not to do that? Would he have still been struggling? Would our relationship be like it is? Would he not be flourishing? Just a couple of little, quick little, I love you, son. I'm proud of you. Made all the difference in the world. Church, I believe God is calling us to speak words of life into people by honoring people. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. Terry, are you close to the keyboard? Do you mind coming up? I want to give you an opportunity to practice honoring folks this morning. And I want to allow you, if you feel led to do this, and maybe even if you don't feel led to do this, because honoring people is a choice. I want to give you about 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, to just move around this sanctuary at your leisure and just find somebody to honor. Find somebody to bless. And just, it could be something simple like, well, I'm so glad you're here. I don't know you. I sit over here and you sit over there and I'm so-and-so and I'm so glad to be in fellowship with you at Wiley Methodist Church. Just to honor them. This is not a time to talk about the Cowboys. It's not a time to talk about deer hunting. This is a time just to go honor people and bless people. And I believe supernatural things will happen when we're obedient to God's desire for us to honor one another. So Terry's going to play. And just feel free to move at your leisure. This may last 30 seconds. It may last 10 minutes. Y'all go ahead and move. go ahead and continue to love on each other. Praise team, go ahead and come up. Let's end with this. Let's end with a song.
Could I doubt His tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? All the way my Savior leads me. Cheers each winding path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial. Feeds me with the living bread. You lead me, you keep me from falling. You carry me close to your heart. And surely your goodness and mercy will follow. Sureness of His promise in the triumph of His blood. When my spirit grows immortal, wings its flight to realms of day. This my song through endless ages. Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me all the way. You lead me and keep me from falling. You carry me close to your heart. And surely your goodness and mercy will follow. You lead me and keep me from falling. You carry me close to your heart. And surely your goodness and mercy will follow me. Will follow.
Have a blessed week, and look for somebody to honor this week. I'm going to do that. God has challenged me to do that as well. God bless you guys. Have a great day.
all the way, my Savior.